This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Stripped of power. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, July 1st. Glad you could join us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Supreme Court has ruled that the EPA exceeded its authority in trying to limit emissions from coal plants. The decision has far-reaching ramifications.
President Biden, for the first time, is expressing willingness to skirt the filibuster rule in order to codify abortion rights.
With soaring inflation and rising interest rates, we put the brakes on our spending last month. The new data could indicate we're in a recession.
And bracing for the worst when it comes to summer travel.
Every day it seems like somebody has another anecdote of things going badly. As we speak right now, there are pilots picketing at airports across the country for Delta, saying they have schedule fatigue, so there's anger both on the customer side and the airline side.
Natalie Compton at the Washington Post on summer travel woes yet again. In what's considered one of the most significant climate cases decided by the Supreme Court in more than a decade, the justices have ruled against an effort by the Environmental Protection Agency to regulate power plant emissions. The debate was whether the EPA had authority to curb emissions from power plants. There was also a deeper debate over how much authority all federal agencies have to issue regulations without specific authorization from Congress. Here's Washington Governor Jay Inslee.
That's necessary because the federal government now is going to be, frankly, much less effective in restraining pollution, which means more of that burden is going to be on our shoulders.
West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey.
I think that when people start to scream that the earth is falling, they have to go back to the fact that for many years, these agencies have been running amok. They've tried to regulate in areas where they've lacked power to do so.
Beyond the EPA, the decision is likely to rein in President Biden's ability to use other departments and regulators, such as the Treasury Department, to address climate change. For the first time, President Biden is expressing total willingness to eliminate the filibuster rule in order to pass one of his agenda items. Speaking in Madrid, Spain, after the G7 meetings, Mr. Biden said that he would support making an exception to the filibuster in order to codify abortion rights and the right to privacy through legislation passed by Congress.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy.
The filibuster is the 60-vote threshold in the Senate needed to pass most legislation. However, despite Mr. Biden's new support for the filibuster carve-out, his best bet in doing so could be next year, and only if Democrats gain at least two Senate seats and hold the House of Representatives, two scenarios right now with very low likelihood, according to polls. The Senate, by the way, does not have the 60 votes needed to codify Roe v. Wade under current rules. It's still not a good idea to peek at your retirement savings statement with another day off for stocks. Global markets closed out their most bruising first half of a year in decades, leaving investors bracing for the prospect of further losses. We get more from this morning's Dave Duncan.
As the second half of the year begins today, the S&P 500 is off 21% since January, its worst first half of a year since 1970. Investment-grade bonds, down 11%, had their worst start to a year in history. Stocks and bonds in emerging markets tumbled. Cryptocurrencies came crashing down. The Wall Street Journal says right now, investors agree that more volatility is ahead. That's because central banks around the world plan to keep raising interest rates to try to rein in inflation. Gordon.
Thank you, Dave. The good news for investors is that markets haven't always done poorly after suffering big losses in the first half of the year, when the S&P 500 has fallen at least 15% in the first 6 months of the year, as it did in 1932, 39, 40, 1962, and 1970. Dow Jones Market Data says it's risen an average of 24%. in the second half of the year.
Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Friday. The Biden administration has released new patient privacy guidelines seeking to spell out federal protections for personal medical information that law enforcement officials could use to investigate potential violations of state anti-abortion laws. The new guidelines come in the wake of the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. More about the guidelines from Anna Matthews, health reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Anna, what do we have?
The Biden administration put out guidelines that are not new rules, but really are interpretation of existing rules under a federal law called HIPAA, which everyone's heard of, which is the federal law governing patient data privacy.
Okay, so some of these clarifications include what, for example?
The Biden administration wants to emphasize that HIPAA, the federal patient privacy law, only allows disclosure of information under fairly narrow circumstances. That's what they're seeking to emphasize. That said, when I interviewed privacy experts and experts on HIPAA, they note that indeed HIPAA does allow quite a bit of disclosure under certain circumstances. So even though the Biden administration wants to emphasize that those circumstances are relatively narrow, they definitely exist.
Is there a for example on that, or is that deep in the weeds at this point?
Well, the guidelines that the Biden administration put out include some for examples. One that they included was, say, a hospital employee in a state that doesn't allow abortion, in which abortion is a criminal banned and through a criminal statute. Is that if a hospital employee believes or is aware that a patient might have had an abortion that would not have been allowed under that state laws, they cannot, under HIPAA, call law enforcement and disclose that information. But if a state law in that state requires them to do so, then under HIPAA, they would be allowed to do so.
We're speaking with Anna Matthews, health reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Abortion Ruling Prompts Privacy Guidelines from Biden Administration. This makes it seem, too, that we could be engaging in a game of one-upsmanship here between Biden administration clarifications and state law.
The experts I spoke to say that the Biden administration is limited in what it can do on this front because of the limits that are built into HIPAA. And HIPAA does generally, on these things, law enforcement matters, defer to state laws. So if a state law requires a disclosure, the experts I talked to said HIPAA would generally allow that.
So then you pointed out in the story, too, we are waiting to a certain extent to get a response from health insurance companies on this.
Well, I think what we're waiting for is to see how things play out. We're in very, very early days of these laws coming into effect, being either triggered by the Supreme Court decision or perhaps returning to being in effect after the Supreme Court decision. And what I heard from experts I interviewed was that it's too soon to tell how these issues of privacy versus enforcement of anti-abortion statutes will play out. There will probably be court cases in the state courts if law enforcement officials do seek this information, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Jeez, very good. What else do you think we should include here? You pieced a lot of this together.
One additional point that the Biden administration made, and that has been made by a lot of privacy advocates, is that a lot of information that people might think is protected under HIPAA is not actually protected under HIPAA. So for instance, information in your phone, your internet searches, perhaps apps on your phone, a lot of that data, even if it might have something to do with your health indirectly, is not actually protected by HIPAA, the federal patient privacy statute. So people may want to be aware of that.
Wow. How come? Because that's not necessarily in a doctor's file, for example?
That's exactly right. HIPAA only really applies to entities that are in the healthcare business specifically. So doctors, healthcare companies, health insurers, your employer health plan would be, but a company like, say, Google or, some other company, that if they are not functioning in a specific healthcare capacity, would not typically be included.
That is Anna Matthews, health reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The holiday weekend is here and the travel troubles are many. Airlines continue to cancel and delay a multitude of flights during a weekend that's expected to draw 3.5 million U.S. flyers. TSA Administrator David Perkoski.
We had last Sunday the highest number of passengers since the pandemic. So I expect that we're going to see something similar ballpark to last weekend.
Thousands of flights have been disrupted each day this week, with delays reaching as high as 5,777 on Wednesday.
Number two.
The Supreme Court has ruled that federal regulators exceeded their authority in seeking to limit emissions from coal plants, in a decision that sharply curtails the executive branch's authority to make policy actions on a range of issues without congressional direction. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey cheered the decision.
We've been arguing for many, many years, while everyone's been focusing on the question of climate change, we've said one simple thing, that if you have a major issue of the day, Congress needs to be the decider, not an unelected bureaucracy.
California Governor Gavin Newsom had a different take.
The idea that the U.S. Supreme Court moved to take away one of the most significant and historically powerful tools to address the ravages of climate change is incomprehensible.
In the 6-3 decision, the court said the EPA had overstepped when it devised the Obama-era regulatory scheme known as the Clean Power Plan. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that the Biden administration could cancel the Trump-era Remain in Mexico program, which required authorities either to jail asylum applicants from Central America or deny them U.S. entry until their cases are resolved. The court found the Biden administration acted within its discretion by ending the program, overturning lower court rulings that required the Department of Homeland Security to enforce the policy which President Biden campaigned on ending. It's a blockbuster defection that will again dramatically change the landscape of college sports. USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 to join the Big Ten starting in 2024. The Big Ten's Council of Presidents and Chancellors voted unanimously on Thursday to add the two California universities, marking another big leap toward a world in which the biggest brands in college sports compete in just two powerful conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten.
This is nuts. We've lost our minds with college sports. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here with savings on top-rated business computers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. Ridiculous is one way to describe summer vacation this year, as masses of travelers venture out only to discover labor shortages, high gas prices, airport chaos, flight cancellations, lost baggage mysteries, pricey hotels and vacation rentals, expensive airfare, extreme weather events, and a persistent pandemic. And there's worse news. It's not getting better soon. More from Natalie Compton, travel reporter at The Washington Post. Natalie, what do we have?
It is exactly like what you're talking about. Even I talked to a couple who went to Greece for their honeymoon. Their bags didn't make it with them. So every day it seems like somebody has another anecdote of things going badly. As we speak right now, there are pilots picketing at airports across the country for Delta, saying they have schedule fatigue. So there's anger both on the customer side and the airline side.
Wow. What do they mean by schedule fatigue? What's happening with that?
They are having issues saying that the airline hasn't updated their scheduling policies, leaving them incredibly overworked. They are feeling just the brunt of this stress right now, having to run all over the country, making up for the fact that there aren't enough pilots. So we'll see if these strikes help. They say that the strikes are not expected to impact any of the travel. They've coordinated this, so it's not going to disrupt travel, but they are trying to get more eyes on the issue that travel's in a bad place.
Jeez. All right. So, and as you point out, we just kind of talked about it there. its passengers and pilots are unhappy, seemingly with lots of other groups.
Right. It's a stressful time to be working in travel. I mean, it's a stressful time to be traveling, and you're going to see that when you see the very tired barista at the airport or your flight attendant. So wherever you're going and however you're getting there, just remember to make eye contact, say thank you. It's not their fault.
Wow. We're speaking with Natalie Compton, travel reporter at the Washington Post. Her story is called Welcome to Summer Travel. It's hell. I feel for the guy you opened your piece with, this guy Steve Miller, 25 years old, just trying to get to Nashville for some birthday party, something or other. Explain what he went through.
I got an email from Steve Miller about his airline experience where he's trying to get to Nashville for some birthday celebrations, and he starts getting hit with delay after delay. I'm talking like 2 hours, 5 hours. He's just having this nightmare scenario where he ended up driving there because he was going to miss all of the things he was traveling there for. So he had no choice but to spend money on a rental car, $100 in gas, get to Nashville anyway.
And he had to wait for that too, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just an example of what we're facing right now at every turn.
Holy cow. And so he decides to drive. Right now he's got to fork out money for the gas. Boy, there was some other wrinkle in there too, I felt like. I wasn't, like, he couldn't get a flight for like 2 more days or something, even though he got canceled, right?
Right. The airline said, we're canceling your flight, but we're not going to offer you another one for days. So it was just this example of sometimes you hope that when you are bumped from a flight or your flight gets canceled, a lot of the big airlines will have another option for you maybe later in the day or the next day or sometime that will still work for your schedule. But what people are running into right now are a lot of flights are full. There aren't as many planes as there were before. So airlines are having a tougher problem making up for disasters.
Well, you know, every time I talk to folks like yourself who live and breathe this, I feel like you're going to say, don't worry, in 3 weeks, it's all going to be cleaned up. And you haven't said that yet, Natalie. It's not getting better anytime soon.
We're not expecting any kind of miracle for summer. A lot of even politicians are pressuring the airlines to get their act together. I think it was Bernie Sanders who was calling for major fines to airlines if they can't get this together. So while we can't expect this to be solved overnight for a variety of reasons, we're still expecting traveler numbers to pick up for the rest of the summer. So this is absolutely something you will be hearing about for the months to come.
Thanks, Natalie. Natalie Compton, travel reporter at the Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, July 1. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Supreme Court strips power from federal agencies. Biden administration can cancel the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy. President Biden willing to drop filibuster rules to pass abortion rights. A proposal for second graders in Texas would have teachers refer to slavery as involuntary relocation. Yellowstone National Park reopening its North Loop to all visitors tomorrow after epic flooding. Music news, Poison canceled a Nashville show last night when lead singer Bret Michaels was hospitalized. And when home internet service costs $27,000. That story in about 20 minutes. Corporate America is geared to the pursuit of green, but it's been leaning increasingly red or blue over the past decade. That development may be unwelcome news for shareholders, even if the political beliefs of a company, brass, align with their own. Here to explain is Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what are we learning?
So this is research from folks at Boston College, Cornell University, and the University of Chicago. What they did is they basically looked at two pieces of data. Who's in the executive level of publicly traded companies? You can find that out through SEC filings. And then they looked at voter registration records, and they checked one against the other. They found that when they matched everything up, they found that on the whole, executives tend to be Republican, but what they're really looking at is that C-suites are clustering more and more, so they're either becoming more Republican or more Democratic, meaning people who they're kind of surrounding themselves with Democrats, or they're surrounding themselves increasingly with Republicans.
Mm. All right, so we've seen this news since the overturning of Roe v. Wade with big retailers, Dick's Sporting Goods, a bank like J.P. Morgan, you mentioned in your story, Starbucks, coming out and saying they will cover the travel expenses for employees who have to go out of state for abortion services. But these companies, I guess, though, are under the impression that this is what customers want from them, to be vocal on social issues.
They may be wrong on that. There was one survey that came up a couple days ahead of the ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, where it was saying that the poll participants disapproved or they supported Roe v. Wade, but around two-thirds, actually 67.5%, said corporations shouldn't be taking a stand one way or another on abortion access.
Wow. I think I'm under the impression, maybe right or wrong, that it's the younger generations that are sending this message to corporations. So maybe that survey covered a larger array of consumers.
I don't know the breakdown on this, but I just off the top of my head, that sounds accurate, that there's the expectation comes from younger consumers, younger investors, that they want companies, aligning with their values and being vocal about it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a story called Corporate America Was Becoming More Partisan Even Before Roe's Reversal. And research finds that's likely not in the interest of shareholders. And kind of to that point, you said in the piece, with partisanship growing more intense in the C-suite, members of the opposite political party may be eyeing the exit. And that kind of raises the red flag for shareholders. Explain that.
Let's say you're the Democrat and everyone else is the Republican, or vice versa. It's going to maybe get to the point, especially as divisive as politics have become in recent years, where you're going to say, well, I need a change of pace. I need something new. And all things being equal, the politics, it's the last straw and I'm out the door. What the researchers found is when executives who are quote-unquote politically misaligned with the rest of their C-suite pals left, there were 238 million in extra losses in the following three trading days. And I asked the research, that's a really interesting bit of news, and that's compared to when a politically aligned executive left. And I asked them, like, what's up with that? It may not be that people buying and selling stock know the political leanings of an executive one way or another. But I think what gets sensed is maybe that this was not a planned exit, that maybe this was not all according to the strategy. And that gets shareholders worried about friction inside the company and bottom lines in the end. And that's possibly what's getting reflected here in those plus 200 million in extra losses.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. By the way, shout out to my newest Twitter follower who has the username AxeMurdererRob. Nice to have you on board. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. On June 29, 2007, the first iPhone went on sale. Improvements over the last 15 years, including sharper cameras and longer battery life, made it hard to put down this popular pocket computer. Joanna Stern, senior personal technology columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at then and now. Joanna, your take.
Well, it's hard to capture 15 years in a short amount of time, but I say that the beginning parts of that time, right, I would say from 2007 to around 2014 was a time of rapid growth and innovation in the actual hardware and software for the phone. And then what happens after that is more incremental, but is still just as significant. So I'll walk through a few of the things that happens in that first time. So first, we get the phone, right? No smartphone ever looked like the iPhone before. The smartphone, people say the iPhone changed phones, but it also changed everything because of that design, right? All touchscreen. You think back, I mean, what did your phone look like before you had an iPhone or a smartphone like this?
About the size of my forearm, but back in the 80s, I guess, when I had a car phone. not even
right,
a smartphone.
Right, and even before and even after that, you had these chunky plastic keyboards, right, that took up half the screen with BlackBerries and Windows Mobile's phone, right? So the iPhone changes that. It changes how things look. And then in 2008, it really gets its one of its biggest innovations, which is the App Store. And the App Store unlocks what this phone can become. It's not just a music player anymore. It's not just for making phone calls and emailing. It can do lots of other things. Stream music, stream videos. It can, I don't know, turn your phone into a flashlight. Mm. It's an alarm clock. It becomes all of these things in our lives. And then in the next couple of years, the camera gets better, right? This takes over the camera, our digital cameras that we used to carry around. It takes over those GPSs that we used to carry around. We used to carry around so much crap, right? Yeah. I mean, and then in the subsequent years, the phones get bigger and this thing becomes more of a computer in our pocket. And I really bring it up to today, you know, up to maybe more 2018, 2019, when the battery started getting better and the fact that we could now be on this thing all day long and we don't now have to take a break from being on it.
Jeez, right. We're speaking with Joanna Stern, senior personal technology columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "The iPhone Turns 15. Here's How It Changed Us." She's also made a documentary called "The iPhone Baby, How 15 Years Shaped a Generation." I was fascinated, too, because you quoted this guy, Tony Fadell, former Apple executive who worked on the original iPhone. And he had no idea that it was going to become this. They were just sort of making a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like a fun device.
Totally. And I actually have a column coming out this weekend, which looks at, through this documentary I was making, I talked to current and former Apple executives. And one of the biggest themes I've found was that people had no idea what they were making. They wanted to make a better product. They wanted to keep making a better product. And then it gets out into the world and there's a lot of surprise about how humans are using this. And so I think that Tony quote is, you know, it's really powerful. We thought this was going to be some small device that you listen to music on. We didn't think it was going to be the center of your world.
Taking it back personally here for you and the types of things you write about, is there one thing you harp on where you feel, boy, if the iPhone or if Apple would just do this, it'd be great? Is there one thing, two things?
I think now they're so small, right? They're really like tiny operating system things. Like I was complaining the other week before Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, which is always in June. I was complaining, you know, I always forget about messages in my iMessage, right? I'll read one and I'll say, oh, I'm going to respond to that later. And then I forget about it. You know, I want to mark that message as unread. That's a really tiny thing in the sense of the history of the iPhone and the complaints we had. I mean, you think back to five, eight years ago, I mean, these things couldn't last all day. And we had giant battery backpacks on the back of these phones. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting on the ground charging them. Now, of course, we still do that. But it's just incredible, those sorts of leaps that we've seen. And now it's kind of like, what are the leaps going to be? I mean, certainly cameras are going to keep getting better. The screens will keep getting better. The processing power will keep getting better. But These are really good phones now.
Thanks, Joanna. Joanna Stern, senior personal technology columnist at The Wall Street Journal.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Russian missile attacks on residential areas in a coastal town near the Ukrainian port city of Odessa early today killed at least 18 people. Video of the pre-dawn attack showed the charred remains of buildings in a small town located 31 miles southwest of Odessa. Ukrainian news reports say 16 of the victims died when missiles struck an apartment building. The airstrikes followed the pullout of Russian forces from Snake Island on Thursday, a move that was expected to potentially ease the threat to nearby Odessa.
Number two.
President Biden has endorsed making an exception to filibuster rules to pass legislation codifying Roe v. Wade into law, an effort that would face obstacles because of Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema's opposition to the move.
We have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights, it should be, we provide an exception for this.
Changing the filibuster rules of the Senate would allow legislation protecting abortion access to pass the chamber with 51 votes rather than the 60 votes usually required for bills to advance.
Number three.
The woman suspected of fatally shooting elite cyclist Anna Wilson in Texas has been captured in Costa Rica. The U.S. Marshal's Office says 34-year-old Caitlin Armstrong was found Wednesday at a hotel on Santa Teresa Beach. Armstrong was wanted for the May 11th shooting of Wilson, who had previously dated Armstrong's boyfriend, in what investigators believe may have been a violent act of romantic jealousy. Police had issued a homicide warrant for Armstrong on May 17th. The Wall Street Journal says the FDA is devising plans to allow clinical trials testing the transplantation of pig organs in humans. If the agency follows through, the trials could be a key step in an effort to ease the deadly shortage of human donor organs. The plan comes in the wake of a handful of experimental surgeries involving the transplantation of pig organs into a critically ill man and in brain-dead patients. It's unclear when the trials would begin. Proposals from researchers would be handled case to case.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. How about an internet plan in a major city that would cost $27,000? When Zachary Cohn and his wife bought a house in the Northgate neighborhood of Seattle, they didn't expect any trouble getting home internet service. It was only after closing on the home 3 years ago that they learned the bad news. His neighbors he shares a property line with are wired for Comcast, but his house never was. ArsTechnica.com says Comcast's predecessor had wired up the neighborhood with cable decades earlier, but it never extended a line to this particular house. Comcast ultimately said it would require installing 181 feet of underground cable to connect the house, and that the couple would have to pay Comcast over $27,000 to make that happen. So Mr. Cohn's been relying on a 4G hotspot ever since. He said the sellers did disclose in documents before the sale that internet wasn't connected at the home, but he didn't realize it wouldn't be possible to get service at all. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.